Welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
This is episode 61. We're back in the Sunday saddle.
That's right, we are.
Yeehaw.
But not all in the same saddle. We all have our own little horses.
That's
our
right.
Our own little Linux horses. Okay.
Get along, little dog.
Called Rawhide. Okay. Well, that's sort of an in-joke, because if you don't know about, Rawhide. Never mind. We're going to just keep moving right along.
Talking about the movie?
No, Fedora release.
Fedora rolling release. Rawhide.
Rolling along. I
got
it.
I got it. I got it, Mary.
Thank you, Matt. Now I know why you win as a live talk. I'm joking.
You don't like me anymore.
I do. Remember now, who won the last one?
That's right.
You did. Okay. Well, I guess we might as well do a quick catch-up on what's going on with each other.
Yeah. Why don't you guys start? I'm going to post the link.
Yeah, I will. Actually, I'll start.
Go ahead.
All right, well, you know how I was running Chakra, how I was. Notice the verb tense. I was running Chakra on my desktop. And they're cutting-edge releases. Well, KDE 4.9.4 was released this past week, so of course I go ahead and install it, and then when I didn't really reboot because I had to, but maybe there was a kernel in there somewhere, but anyway, I suddenly had no X display, so I because I had to get working on stuff, I ended up putting Kubuntu back on. I ran into my little problem I had before with the existing home partition, trying to meld that in, but I think yesterday during our monthly Linux meeting, the Metro, MD Lug meeting, we figured out that it probably was a user ID issue. So, anyway, but to make a long story short, which could be impossible at this point, my desktop now is back on Kubuntu, but it's on 12.11, or 12.10, excuse me. So,
all right.
So that's what I did, and I haven't given up on Chakra. It's just I'm just not running it right now.
You gave up?
Yeah, just only because I had to get some work done. So, what about you, Matt? What did you do? Besides continue your recovery. Hey, it's good to have you back in our little podcast studio here.
Yes, yeah. I'm
my dining room.
I'm trying to figure out how to get Bind working, and I was playing with it yesterday and messing around, getting IP tables set, and I thought it was working for a minute, and now I can't even ping the machine. So,
wow.
So something's not working.
You mean ping the machine from itself or from another machine?
From another machine. Okay. That's not so good for a DNS server.
No,
because... yeah, giving out or getting...
I think I messed up the IP tables. What I did.
Did you save them before you started screwing around with them?
No.
That's the Matt Enders way.
Just go and look for the ICMP rule.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's got a little hangdog look on his face.
Yeah, this is not working.
We're sorry to hear that, because that can be frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're trying to get...
I've been doing it for a week.
Oh. I thought Carl was going to help you out yesterday a little bit.
Was.
I think he did. But you
sent me some stuff, but...
Yeah, but...
It made me understand. I think I got the file written right, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, it's not a hardware thing. It's mostly in the configuration.
Oh, it's definitely configuration.
Okay. All right, well, keep us posted.
Cool.
All right, and we now turn our attention to Tony.
Well,
I bet you were busy with a baby, weren't you?
Yeah, baby, family, work. We're starting a new big project at work, so my podcast listening time has been dwindling. I got to listen to a couple this week, and I'd like to give a shout out to Door-to-Door Geek for he was talking about us on on his last show.
I have to also say that listen to Podnuts Daily. I was the guest on the most recent Podnuts Daily.
All right.
So give it a listen.
Yeah, cool. But other than that, not much is going on.
Okay.
So I guess we can continue on.
We can move along.
Move along,
little doggies.
Move along,
little doggies. That's when that's said with a Western twang.
We get it.
Okay.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
in the kernel this week.
Hastily prepared kernel news?
No, just the one.
Okay.
In the kernel this week, we have a release candidate on Monday, the 3rd of December, 2012, 12:36 Pacific Standard Time. Linus Torvalds released kernel 3.7-RC8, and this is what he had to say about it. I really didn't want it to come to this, but I was uncomfortable knowing a 3.7 release yesterday due to last-minute issues and decided to sleep on it. And today, I ended up even less comfortable about it due to the resurrection of a KSWAP-D issue. So I decided that I'm going to do another RC after all, which is not very nice timing-wise, since that means that the next merge window will run up very close to Christmas. But hey, maybe that will at least convince people to not leave things to the final days of the merge window and send me pull requests early. That would be nice. And because I'm dragging it out for another week, I'm going to be very bitter if anybody sends me pull requests this late in the game that aren't for major issues. If you send me small, irrelevant stuff that doesn't fix major issues, oopses, security, things like that, I'm going to curse at you and ignore your pull requests, so don't do it. The only things I want to see are fixes that people are deeply care about. If it's not critical, or you don't have an actual problem report from an actual user, just put it in the queue under the Christmas tree and let it go for 3.8. Okay, while writing this, I got another pull request that made me go, we don't really need this. I'll pull that because technically it came in before I'd given this warning, but... And that's what he had to say. Then we have the mainline updates. We had a stable update on Monday, the 3rd of December, 2012, 1353, Pacific Standard Time. Greg Hartman released kernel 3.6.9 with 56 files changed, 472 lines inserted, 184 lines deleted. And then on Monday, the 3rd of December, 2012, at 1354, Greg Crow Hartman released kernel 3.4.21, with 59 files changed, 392 lines inserted, 154 lines deleted. Then on Monday, the 3rd of December, 2012, at 1355, Greg Crow Hartman released kernel 3.0.54, with 37 files changed, 202 lines inserted, and 81 lines deleted. Then, on Wednesday, the 5th of December, 2012, at 1845, Greg Cohartman released kernel 3.0.55. This release contains a single fix for a build error that some people have reported with 3.0.54. And then on Wednesday, the 5th of December, 2012, at 1846, Pacific Standard Time, Greg Cohartman released kernel 3.4.22. This release contains a single fix for a build error that some people have reported with kernel 3.4.21. And then on Friday, the 7th of December, 2012, at 1:23 Greenwich Mean Time, Ben Hutchings released kernel 3.2.35 with 93 files changed, 741 lines inserted, and 295 lines deleted. The kernel developer quote of the week comes from Greg Crow Hartman. I have spent more time this week editing patches in diff format than I have than real files. I don't like this trend. The reason is because you edit them in diff format when they're submitted to you incorrectly.
Oh. Maybe it's somebody new who doesn't understand the process.
Yeah, or somebody old that just doesn't care.
Then they shouldn't be doing it.
So, that's the kernel news. Sorry, something in the air is choking me up.
Oh, I was getting worried. I couldn't tell if you're yawning or if you were like having another stroke.
Something in the air is choking me up.
Huh? I wonder if was that earlier event.
No, it was not the flatulence from earlier.
All right, I had to check. Okay, well, Matt, thank you for the kernel update. It was good to hear it come from you because nobody does it quite like you.
That's right.
Certainly not me. All right, I guess we're moving on to...
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
We have quite a few releases this week, starting back on the 1st.
Oh, no.
That must have been released later in the day from when we recorded last time. So, and I'm not sure how to say it exactly. Apsoid?
Oh, Aptisid.
Aptisid?
Mm-hmm.
That's version 2012.1 or dash one. So yeah. Probably.
SID, Debian SID.
Yeah.
It's the Debian Unstable Branch, I think, and then, of course, the apt.
SID had a release?
No. Aptisid did, but it's based on the Debian Unstable Branch. So I was only trying to infer the elements of the name.
Got it.
All right. You may be the only one.
Information gotten.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. SID and apt and Debian and
apt to SID.
Yeah.
Aptosid. Apt and SID.
Well, they don't.
SID.
Okay. All right. I believe we're going to move on to the next distro. Yeah. So, Tony, what is that?
The next one isn't really a distro, but it's a BSD release. The .NET BSD 5.2 has been released.
Mm-hmm.
The distro that runs on anything.
That's right. And then the next one is Puppy Linux 5.4 Slacko. That's just an updated version of their release from that Slackware based.
Okay.
Yeah. Going on to Bridge Linux 2012.12. And Bridge is one of the Arch based Linux ones. That has GNOME 3.6, KDE 4.93. LXDE and XFCE available.
They got it all.
Yeah.
So of course, in the next day, KDE comes out with 4.94.
Right. Nice.
All right.
And then we have Zeven OS 5.0, and that's the Ubuntu-based Linux with XFCE, and it looks like BEOS.
Well, I think it's a BEOS theme.
It's their theme on XFCE.
It's their theme, yeah.
Okay. Cool. And scrolling ahead, we have Chakra.
Oh, yes.
2012.12.
Yep, and that's about the same day that I had my problem.
Oh, yeah? Was it when you did the update to this? When you had the problem?
Yeah, I didn't download this, but it's when I did my Pac-Man update.
Yeah,
because there was just a whole bunch of updates, and I thought, this is what makes Chakra so great, 4.94, and then within a half hour, I was crying.
Oh.
So.
And then we have Comfusion 4.1.
Yeah.
And that is Ubuntu based with LXDE, Compiz Fusion.
You know, the thing about it... Now,
why would you have LXDE and Compiz?
Yeah, I was going to ask a question along those lines.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, because LXDE is supposed to be lightweight, right, but then right. Compiz...
I mean, that's kind 3D. Of a resource hog. Well, maybe it's just the visual of it.
Well, maybe it's like you don't like...
To confuse people. People in the know will see it and say, wow, look at that. Running that lightweight desktop, and they've got
maybe like the menu system that LXDE has. But you want the prettiness of Compiz.
Yeah, but my question is, how often are you now I love eye candy like the next person, but
it's good for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then you know, look at this Windows user, ha ha ha! Our desktop cube spins.
Yeah, my Windows burned down Compiz when I closed them.
Woo!
But Compiz is more than that, though. I mean,
it's
the whole animations and.
Yeah.
I mean, even you guys said that you wouldn't go back to a desktop that didn't have 3D acceleration like that.
Did I?
No, I didn't.
Matt did.
When? I was using LXD for a long time.
Yeah, but when you were doing all the distro hopping, you got upset at one of them because it didn't have 3D. Yeah,
that hot corner. It's just the hot corner. I really dig the hot corner, which now is not working.
Well, that's fine.
That's fine. Could be better.
Hot corners.
I can help you out with that again, I did yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mary came to my rescue yesterday, I got to say that.
Grudgingly.
That was a good thing. I got rid of that ridiculous beefy miracle picture
from the boot manager.
Yeah, that wasn't the boot manager.
No, it was the display manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that at login?
Yeah, it's
from KDM. I had fixed KDM, and I had fixed my desktop, right? But it was that... time and space between
when it's booting up
and the desktop.
Well, you don't want to watch the scrolling text go by. You can have a picture or something. So Matt didn't like the fireworks. So he created his own fireworks.
All right.
So, but you're good to go now.
Yes.
All right. So what do we got continuing on?
We have Archbane 2012.12. And so that's the another one based on Arch, right?
I believe
I think
so.
Lightweight. It's called
Archbane. Yeah. and then the last one is development. So that was it.
Yeah. So Archbane.
Yeah,
Arch,
and you know,
the bang.
There's a KDE or a Kubuntu development release. So that's the first of the Ubuntu ones that I've seen for development releases.
Oh, you know, something else, too, I want to mention about Chakra, since we're still kind of talking about these releases.
Sure.
One thing I noted when I used it is that, you know, they've got the bundle system that have all the libraries and everything for those non-Qt applications, right. So if it's GTK. When I'd go into Dolphin, or when I would look at, maybe I'd be looking at my directory structure, you know, just something to do, I would see these mounted, not drives, but they basically were temporary mount points for those bundles. And at first I thought, what are these things doing here? And then I realized that, oh, okay, it's because I'm using Thunderbird, or I'm using something, and it's just showing the mount point. But based on some things that I read, as far as what the Chakra project's doing, is that they're planning to hide those so that they don't show up, because you're not gonna unmount them unless you want to abruptly terminate your program. I mean, they're just kind of in the way there and look a little inelegant. So I think it's a good thing that they're going to do that.
So when you say you see the mount, is it on the on the sidebar where all of your other temporary mounts are?
Oh, yeah, because when I was running, there was like two or three Firefox, a couple of others, and I'd see like three extras. So, you know, they just kind of get in the way. So I was glad to see that the Chakra project is going to deal with that and make them less visible or get rid of them altogether as far as seeing them. And then they're still working on their Tribe. I think their GUI installer that they have not finished yet. So, you know, you still work from the command line, which isn't a bad thing. But
right.
So anyway, a little Chakra. I'm sure I'll be back at some point. Just not this week.
All right.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
And for our number five, we have Puppy with 1407.
And trending up.
And number four is Fedora with 1545.
And trending down.
Number three, staying stable there, is Ubuntu with 1588.
And trending down.
Magia with 1948 at number two.
And trending down.
And at number one is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 3980.
And trending up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I upgraded my Mint, and everything went great until I had to start using Audacity.
Oh, really? What happened?
It was crashing almost every 2 minutes.
Wow.
It was horrible. Like, when I would hit stop, go to another spot and hit play, it would hang.
Really?
And
that's not good.
And it wouldn't do anything. One time I let it sit for 10 minutes, and it would never start playing or do anything. So I constantly had to close it. Go
did
redo
you try
something.
Running Audacity all by itself with nothing else running?
Yeah.
I had no problem running it from Kubuntu.
Yeah, I had no problem either from Fedora.
Right. Well, so halfway through, I got so upset about it, I started going through and make sure.
You threw your computer against the wall.
I was about to. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
But I ended up, I did a dist upgrade and did, you know, all sorts of things. Make sure if there was any fixes out there that have been installed and it still was happening. So I ended up, I would make one change, hit save. Skip over one change, hit save. So saving it like every other minute.
Yeah.
But
I had a crash. Well, I think I mentioned this last week. I had a crash once when I was editing the show. But I had already been saving it, so I lost very little. So that was good.
Yeah.
But anyway. And I found my glasses. Remember last week I did the show
about
my glasses?
Oh, yeah, you couldn't find them.
Yeah, I found them not too long after we ended.
Cool.
They had, they just had kind of were under this little overhang, and I just didn't see them. So, so much for that.
I stepped on mine yesterday at the meeting.
Yeah, yeah, you should have heard that. Were you in the room when that happened?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It was a scary thing.
There was some expletives.
Yes, there were several.
Yeah, I had to step
out. Repeated in rapid succession. No, just kidding.
I forgot to get a babysitter before the meeting, so I had to take my daughter with me. And a two-year-old sitting through a three-hour computer meeting does not last long. So she lasted about an hour, and then I had to take her out.
I used to bring my daughter all the time.
Yeah, how old she was 17 years old. How old is Alex? She's two?
She's two, yeah.
I didn't know she's two or three. Okay, yeah. So she did pretty good, but then...
Oh, and the one time Tony left the room, she was a trooper. She stood at the front of the room, and you could see it starting, and it was building, and it was building.
Oh, she was going
to
cry.
And all of a sudden, and she took off running for the door.
Yeah, I started,
Bill,
I started walking
back. Bill lets her out!
I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, that library, it's a safe library, so she wouldn't have been able to get far.
Yeah.
Oh. But, yeah, I heard just as the door started opening,
so the quiet sanctity of the library was temporarily disrupted, but
yeah.
But she's all set. She's a cute little girl.
Yes, she is.
Cute
yeah,
kid.
Thanks.
Mary, what's on SDA 6 this week?
Actually, I've got a tale to tell. And this week's distro review is of the Amnesiac Incognito Live System, a.k.a. Tails.
All
right. Because remember, I threatened to do this last week, and I went through on my threat. Now, the entire premise of Tails is secure anonymous access to the interwebs. Tails achieves this goal in a number of ways. First of all, it leaves no trace on your computer because it runs either via a live DVD or from a USB thumb drive on which it's been installed. It also assures anonymity by routing all connections to the Internet through the Tor network. And then it uses state-of-the-art cryptographic tools to encrypt your files, emails, instant messages. And it's really kind of nice because when you're creating that persistent volume to do that, you've got a whole list of things, and you can just pick and choose what you want a part of that persistent volume. And then, of course, in turn, it will be encrypted. Now, these are quite heady goals. Would it be a case of secure distros tell no tales? Or would it turn out to be an 854 megabyte of dead weight? Well, let's find out. First, the vitals. Of course, the name is Tails, the Amnesiac Incognito Live System. It's a distro. Oh, the maintainer. It's a distro from Ireland, so it must be some Irish guy. It's hard to tell because everyone in their forum is named anonymous. There is no name. You just don't know who it is. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, there's a like Mint. Irish. Solus OS, Ikey Doherty, Irish. Tails, Irish. Do you know why?
Why?
Because of the copyright rules in Ireland. That's why Mint's allowed to put all that stuff in, and why Ikey Doherty's allowed to put all that stuff in for to play all the media.
Oh.
It's legal in Ireland.
Hmm. And why? So that, but it seems kind of incongruous then that Tails would be there because they're.
I think that's just a coincidence.
Okay, probably is. But anyway, the distro's latest birthday, well, Tails 1.5 was released on November 27, 2012. It is a derivative of Debian 6.0.6. This release of Tails uses the 3.2.0-4 kernel, and the review desktop was GNOME, and GNOME also with a Windows XP skin, and I'll get into that in a minute. Now, first, the live environment. After burning the distro to a DVD, I booted to a simple grub menu. There are really only two boot options, live and live failsafe. I chose live and the familiar Debian tricolor graphic crawled across the bottom of my screen. A short while later, a simple dialog box appeared with this question, more options? I felt like red pill, blue pill. In the Tails anonosphere, and I thought I had made up a new word, but I found out that somebody else used that earlier. But anyway, in the Tails anonosphere, more options consists of A, deciding whether you want a root password, and B, deciding if you want to activate Windows XP camouflage. Stand by, activating the blue screen of death disguise. Just kidding, it wasn't the blue screen of death disguise. It's actually an XP desktop. And it doesn't look exactly like Windows XP. Now, a few years ago, that might have been good camouflage when more people were using XP, but today you'd stand out like a sore thumb because most people are...
Actually not. Most installed desktops are still Windows XP.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I was thinking of it from a
because the install base is just so huge.
Yeah, that's true. But I was thinking about it from being in a public place where usually people who are running XP don't take their computers out in public. That's my thinking. It's my thinking, and I'm sticking to it. But here's the thing about the XP skin on GNOME. It kind of reminds me of those situations where you've got like an alien or a monster that's trying to fit in like and look human. And they're about 99.95% there, but there's like one ear that's a little lower, or some of them, you know, something that doesn't look right.
Like in what was it, Men in Black? The thing that tried to get inside that guy's skin,
and so they almost look right. And the reason why I say this is because it dead on looked like a Windows XP desktop, except for this. If you look down in the system tray, there were two icons in the system tray that were larger than the rest of them. I think it was, one was the battery thing, so it was like big. And again, it wasn't the Windows battery thing. And then it was, there was another one, not network, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, it just clearly looked out of place with the Windows XP camouflage. So it was kind of funny, I laughed at that. All right, so, and then selecting No for more options and clicking forward will take you to the Tails GNOME desktop just as a regular user. Now the defaults. The default browser is IceWeasel. Every time it's opened, it's set to check the Tor project to confirm it's ready for use. There's a second menu option to run an unsafe browser, and that'll basically show up as just a big red. You get this, you know, red background. Excuse me, and it clearly tells you you're in unsafe territory. The Office Suite is, interestingly enough, OpenOffice 3.2.1. Now, the current OpenOffice is 3.4.1. The mail client is Claws Mail, and the default file manager, of course, no surprise, is Nautilus. One interesting thing about IceWeasel, its quick search box is set to use Start Page rather than Google. Now, have you guys heard of Start Page?
Uh-huh.
Start Page is a secure, anonymous search methodology that incorporates Google into it, but it by the time your search gets to Google, it's already anonymized. So not only are you safe through Tor, but you're also safe through Start Page. Now that's what it's called here, but in Europe it's called I want to say Ixquick, IXQUICK, and I went to that site just to check it out quickly. It says it's the world's most private search engine. So anyway, just a little bit of info about Start Page. And again, the link to Start Page's information will be in the show notes, but the quick search is already configured for it. Now, my favorite things to check for are graphics and wireless, and they are handled properly with Nouveau, the open driver for NVIDIA, and then IWL 4965, so everything was working good on that front. Now, the Tails menu, when you once you're in the live environment in the DVD, the Tails menu contains three items for you because the rest of it is just regular stuff. There's nothing really notable. There's Configure Persistent Volume, Delete Persistent Volume, and the Tails USB Installer. Now, I selected the USB Installer, and when you're running from the DVD, you'll receive an error if you try to create a persistent volume for obvious reasons because it's not going to be persistent because you're running off a DVD. One other thing, too, it's pretty interesting. Tails will immediately power down if there's a change to its environment. For example, when after the system booted from the DVD, I opened up the DVD tray. And typically, if you're running from a live media like that and you're not doing anything, I've done it before and the system, you know, the live environment will stay in place.
Stays there until
you try to do something.
You need to make a request to the seat.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what happens is as soon as I undid that, Tails shut down. It went through this whole process. It said to me, it said the memory was being cleared, and afterward the system would shut down. And true to that statement, the machine cleared the memory and powered down. And then it overwrites. It then reboots a clean kernel, and then it shuts down. So it's really pretty interesting to see this whole process. But anyway, on to the install, because you know, as you know, I did install it to the USB. But there, you know, I guess I characterize it as not really a typical install process because, you know, again, it's either live DVD or the USB. But during my testing, let's see, although both work equally well, the only difference is speed. So guess which one is faster? Of course, the USB. Now,
really? I'm amazed.
Yeah, so was I. Not. Not really, but let's see here. All right, so now when you're gonna install the USB, you will click that option in the menu, in the Tails menu, and you've got three choices. The first one is clone and install. The second is clone and upgrade, and the third is upgrade from ISO. Well, what I simply did is I went ahead and clicked the first one, which is clone and install, and a little window will open. If you don't have what you want to do at that point is you do want to have your USB device plugged in, and it will then display it in the little window. And from that point on, you can go ahead and click to install. And so it will take you through the whole process. You know, again, it unmounts it, it formats it as a FAT32, verifies it, and then it starts to install. It then will also reset the master boot record, install the bootloader, synchronize everything, unmount, and it's done. by the way, too, I went to the Tails forum just to check regarding the feasibility of installing on a hard drive. Apparently, there were several successful attempts. However, each new release of Tails seems to break it, and the maintainers note that installing from a hard drive makes it less secure. And they suggested using Liberté Linux, which I know we've mentioned when they've released a new version. But they suggested using that as an alternative if you really wanted to install it on the hard drive. Another thing, too, I noted is that during the course of my work, I wanted to take a picture of a couple of things, and I tried to take a screenshot. Tails has disabled the screenshot-taking capability, so not even alt-print screen worked. There was no screen capture app in there at all. Yeah, so. But once you boot from the USB, you've got a couple of other things to of note. First of all, you know, it'll boot to grub like it did in the DVD. And then when you go to the welcome screen, instead of just asking more options, if you've already created a persistent volume, you have a choice of whether you want to use it for the session or not. So you just simply select yes or no, and then on you go. Let's see here, just continuing on through here. Interesting programs. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I saw. And again, every time you open the browser, it's going to check to see that it's connected properly to the Tor network. So every single time it does. So, I mean, we're talking very, very secure. Now, interesting programs. In there was File Roller, which was kind of somewhat interesting, simply because it's an archive program, but I guess you can go ahead and archive to your persistent volume if you want. There was also the Meta Anonymization Toolkit, or MAT. Man, I thought of you. Now, of course, metadata consists of information that characterizes the data, and that can reveal a lot about the person that used it, that type of thing. So what it does is it strips it all out, although it does not anonymize the content, nor does it handle watermarking, steganography, or any overly customized metadata file system. They said if you really want to be anonymous, use a format that does not contain any metadata, like plain text. But then, of course, it's going to be encrypted because that persistent volume is encrypted. Also, Gabi was in there. That's a free collaborative editor for cross-platform. It runs on Linux, Mac, other Unix-like platforms, and Windows. Whisperback. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Whisperback.
No.
Actually, I believe it's written in Python since it's a... let's see here. What it does is it provides a user-friendly way to send feedback encrypted. So your feedback regarding your Tails experience... I probably shouldn't say it quite that way. But you're able to send the feedback encrypted back to the maintainers. And it's got Scribus in there, which I thought was kind of odd. Why would you put a desktop publishing program in something that you're going to just use for who knows what? But it's there.
So you can publish how to be anonymous.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Of course, if you're a journalist and you're in a place where you're monitored, that might be a good way to do it.
Yeah.
The Florence Virtual Keyboard is included also in case you're concerned about a keylogger being installed on the computer that you've put this in. So you simply can type from the virtual keyboard. I mentioned already the unsafe web browser. Let's see, just kind of wrapping this up. I talked a little bit about the shutdown when I opened the DVD tray, but there is no option to reboot or anything, no hibernate, no logout. There's only shutdown. And when you shut down, you get a little warning first of all, the GUI, of course, goes away. You get a little warning that it's going to be writing over some stuff. It's going to reboot like a new kernel and then shut down. So I thought that was a really interesting process. Now, the rating, I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you. just kidding. Actually, I give it a 3.8 because it does what it does, and it does it well. Yeah, I was a little annoyed that I couldn't take screenshots, but that really runs counter to the objective of this distro. So,
did you try out the Silk Road, Mary?
You asked me the last time I did one of these. No, I did not. No, but I'm sure I could get there from here, especially with Tails. But anyway, yeah, Tails is really a nice little anonymous. You know, again, if you're in a country where you're worried about the authorities monitoring your move,
like the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. You can certainly make use of this very effectively.
With the regime in office now.
Oh, well, any regime actually in office. But that's it. So yeah, it was really, and it's very, you know, again, it runs pretty quickly off that USB. So that's it, gentlemen.
All right.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
I did not have an opportunity to write any story.
You know, Matt, you're only going to be able to use that that excused absence slip only so long.
Well, I was working from home this week. I didn't feel comfortable doing it while I was working from home.
No, I understand.
So I was sitting in front of my laptop for 8 hours waiting for something to do. It was not fun.
Yeah. No.
But I do have some stories I want to talk about.
All right.
First one up is the oldest open source software is kept by the Army. The Army maintains the oldest piece of open source software. It's called BRLCAD. And as its name suggests, it's a computer-aided design system. It was developed before ARL existed. It has been used for nearly 3 decades in support of modeling, simulation, and engineering analysis of military assets and their environments, including the design and analysis of vehicles, mechanical parts, and architecture. Dr. Paul Tenenbaum, Director of Survivability Lethality Analysis Directorate, used BRLCAD early in his career when he was an analyst at the bench and then later when he served on the team developing and maintaining it. And there will be a link in the show notes, and all these stories are from Linux Today.
And that's it.
That's it. Next up, we have, when in China, don't leave your laptop alone.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, really?
You're traveling in China on business. After checking into your hotel room, you decide to grab a bite at a local restaurant. You're not planning to work, so you leave your laptop on the dresser, lock the door, and exit, feeling confident that your possessions are safe. And an hour and a half later, you return and note that all your stuff, including the laptop, is just where you left it. Everything seems fine, and you go about your business, conducting meetings with potential clients over the next few days before returning home. But everything is not fine. While you were out to dinner that first night, someone entered your room, often a nominal hotel staffer, carefully examined the contents of your laptop, and installed spyware on the computer without you having a clue. Yep. Then this is a real problem. I know a guy that works for the DOD, and whenever they travel to China, they have throwaway laptops they take.
Really?
They're installed fresh before they go. They have the presentation on them that they need, and that's what they use while they're there. And then when they come back, they're wiped again.
Really?
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely makes sense.
Next up, I forgot to include the title of this one, so I'm not really sure what it is.
Well, read a little, we'll guess.
But it's about MariaDB. Challenges Oracle. Open source MariaDB and MSQL fork challenges Oracle. MariaDB is the MSQL fork database management system is throwing down the gauntlet to Oracle by forming a foundation to promote its alternative DBMS. MariaDB is so close to MySQL that you can switch from MySQL to MariaDB with the same databases. You turn all the databases off, uninstall MySQL, install MariaDB, fire up MariaDB, point it at the MySQL databases, and it's good to go.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I remember they forked it once.
Yeah, and it was the guy
Oracle.
It was the guy that invented it. MySQL was the guy that forked it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
MariaDB is definitely the way to go. And there's a couple more things on that, but I'm not going to say them.
You're done. You're tired. Yeah. All right. You know, speaking of little news items, I don't know if this really qualifies as a news item, but I did see a post on DistroWatch, and it was how to circumvent the UEFI secure boot. Now, this is submitted by someone named Jesse Smith.
Yeah.
And, excuse me. Boy, I tell you, early in the morning. See, I'm not used to this getting up early on Sunday. It's been a while. But anyway, he listed the steps, and I guess it took him quite a while to get there because all these warnings pop up, and you have to just kind of get past these warnings and sort of ignore them. But essentially, from what he said, you boot the machine while pressing F10 and find the secure boot in the menu tree, ignore the warnings, disable secure boot menu feature, enable legacy boot options, enable specific legacy devices such as USB devices, save and reboot while holding down F9. Boy, talking about the trial and error to figure that out. But I tell you, that it kind of caught my eye, and I thought, well, first of all, I'm never going to buy a computer that has that enabled.
Yeah. Greg Crowe-Hartman showed this week, he booting a custom Linux kernel on a secure UEFI machine. He did it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Won't you be able to buy, well, I think if you get them from Linux vendors, you shouldn't have a problem getting one without that UEFI on there. But I think
it's not UEFI. UEFI is not the problem. I mean, we have servers at work that use UEFI instead of BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the secure boot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, anyway, so there's that one. And the other one, and I posted this to Google+. You know, of course, Microsoft recently released their Surface tablet and Windows 8 and all of that, and they put out a Twitter campaign that tried to.
I read about that.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, what they did, Droid Rage. This Twitter campaign.
Droid Rage?
Yeah, they tried to get people to. Write in about their frustrating experience with Android and all of that type of thing. And so, but what happened is that it went painfully wrong because it then turned against them and people were talking about
how lame Microsoft was tagging Droid Rage at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
That's good.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So, anyway, but, I saw that. I thought that was pretty good. I do have my KDE corner that I can talk about too a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we mentioned earlier. You heard that in I believe like the shock release that KDE they just released the 4.94 this week. But also this week they shipped the second beta of Plasma Workspaces Applications and Platform 4.10. Now that's scheduled to be officially released in January 2013. I think I want to say the 23rd. It's a Wednesday. I think we want to have a Don't we want to have a KDE 4.10 release party at our normal hangout? We'll have to get that all out and get that planned. So wanted to mention that. Another thing, too, I wanted to also mention is that Trojita, I believe it's pronounced, or Trojita, it's a cute IMAP email client. Now, Pharonix carried this little blurb about this particular app that it's an IMAP email client. It's being rolled into the KDE platform. So it's not necessarily designed to replace KMail, but what it's going to be used for, it's IMAP only. And so it will, for those situations where you need an IMAP email client, this is going to be an option for you. So I wanted to mention that. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then also, the last thing is they've just announced a contest to create an updated look for Conky, you know, Conky the little dragon. And so there are several rules to it, one of which is that it must be created, the new dragon must be created in Krita, one of the apps, you know, the drawing app for that's part of the KDE package.
Uh-huh.
So I have a link to that in the show notes for anyone who's particularly artistically inclined. And I think as far as my KDE corner this week, that's all that I've got.
Cool. I found a couple articles that I thought I'd talk about. And one thing that's been going around for a couple weeks now, but we haven't talked about on the show, is running Netflix on on Ubuntu or on Linux.
Yeah, you know, I saw that.
And I know a couple weeks ago when it first came out, there was like this long tutorial and all these steps you have to take to get it running on Wine. And and when I first saw that, I'm like, eh, if it's on Wine,
too much work.
I'm not really. Yeah. Well, now they have a PPA that does it all for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as far as what I read through, you say you install the PPA on Ubuntu, and then you do apt-get update and apt-get install netflix-desktop. And then after the install, it goes through, and right on the Unity Dash, it's sitting there. It's just as a Netflix app.
I wonder how it would sit in Kubuntu.
It's a good question. And then I have Cinnamon. It probably just shows up as a regular application in like in your internet menu or something.
Because I've added I've added a lot of Kubuntu PPAs, but not a lot, but a few. I'll add that one and see what happens. Worst that can happen is I'll break it and I'll just have to reinstall. And then I'll know now to check the user number so I can get my home partition to slide in there properly and work.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think what the big thing they probably just figured out how to do is get Silverlight to work in Wine, because it still uses Silverlight.
No, it doesn't. Netflix doesn't use Silverlight for over a year.
It's saying here that after you launch it, and then you choose a video to watch, then it goes to Silverlight opens up and asks you to turn on DRM.
I don't know why. Netflix hasn't used Silverlight in over a year, according to Netflix.
Oh. So what are they using now?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, it makes it seem
so much
easier
for that news item, Tony.
But no, it's cool that it's running on Linux, and I may install it so that when we go on a trip or something, then we can have Netflix to use.
Yeah, now do you have the monthly subscription to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. And I have not watched movies in months, so I pay them, $7.99 a month? And I keep thinking I'm going to drop it, but I'll give this a try because I'll keep it if that's the case. Otherwise, I will drop it.
Yeah. Well, we have it on our Blu-ray plugged into that's on our TV at home. And my parents, they just got one of the big smart TVs and with Netflix on there. And so I'm trying to convince them to get their account back up and running so they can watch movies on there.
Yeah. You know, I participated in a Kickstarter program for Pocket TV. Did I talk about this ever?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I found out about it from the Linux Action Show months and months ago. And what it is a it fits into the HDMI plug or port on your TV, and basically it, I believe it's just an Android-based system that will turn your TV into a smart TV.
Hmm.
So, of course, I always get a little nervous about that because I'm thinking, okay, what are they tracking? And speaking, by the way, I'm going to just jump off that topic for a second. I posted something in Google Plus about Verizon getting a patent for the ability to track what you're doing in your living room as far as...
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, I thought, boy, oh boy, that's something I would never get.
Right. It's 1980? Or what's that?
84. Orwell, yeah, George Orwell. Right. Yeah. So anyway, but getting back to this other thing. So I just got the FedEx shipment number, so it's going to probably be in my hands and within a week, so maybe I'll be able to report about it next week. So.
Cool. You know, that reminded me of a project I almost, or I may invest in. It's not a Kickstarter. What's the other one? Indiegogo?
Indiegogo, yep, I've done stuff there.
There's a project where they're making these little... It's a Find Me app or something like that on your phone. And then you get these little quarter-size stickers or stick-on things. And you stick it onto your remote and your keys and your dog or whatever, your kid. And then...
Print of the forehead. But there you go!
Well, they showed it on the shoelaces, but...
I like the forehead better.
Right. But what it does is you turn on your phone... And it uses Bluetooth, and within 30 feet, it can tell you how far it is from you.
Oh, that's nice.
And then
nice.
You start walking around a little bit, and it tells you whether it's getting stronger or weaker.
That sounds like the dad. Did you hear about this one?
No.
This dad invented an app for his phone that
He mounted the phone on the helicopter, the remote control helicopter, and put a geolocator in his son's backpack and has this helicopter follow his son.
I did hear about that.
So he can...
Dad, there's a helicopter following me. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
No, but it looks really cool because say you're at a big grocery store or a big store, department store, and your kid runs off and you can't find him. You just open that up and you can... You know, as long as they're within 30 feet, you can figure it out. There's also,
some people can just leave the store.
You can tell it to vibrate, yeah. And you can tell it to blink or beep also.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds very slick.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And it's like $35 for two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Is that Indiegogo still open? Or
yeah, I think it goes for another week.
Okay.
I've got to look up the link to it. It looks really cool.
Yeah, but I have another phone story. But this one is from a few years ago. For a while, I had when it was popular, I had one of those little Bluetooth headsets, and we had gotten about maybe 6 or 7 inches of snow. There was a lot of snow outside, and I was moving some stuff, and my phone fell out of my pocket, and I didn't realize it. And then suddenly, I can't find it. Well, what I did. Is I activate? I thought, oh my gosh, I gotta wait till spring till all the snow melts. What I did is I activated my Bluetooth headset because when it got within a certain distance of the phone, it would connect and I would hear it. So what I did is I connected it and walked back and forth, and suddenly I heard it. And I thought, oh, it's right around here, and then I just started digging, and there it was. I reached in and pulled it right out. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so didn't help me. Didn't help me last month or whatever it was. I lost my last phone, which I, of course, found after I got my new Galaxy S3. But.
That's the way it always happens. When I got back from getting my Galaxy S2, my wife is standing there with my BlackBerry.
I know. I tell you. It's just, of course, I got Prey on mine, that preyproject.org. That
right.
Because it was reporting where it was. It's just that. It was so well hidden.
Yeah.
I just couldn't find
under
it.
A seat. I've done that a couple times.
In the car.
Except for if I lose my phone, I'll go a couple days before I go out and buy a new one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did too.
But
after a while, you just say, people are calling that number, and there's no way I can log in and pull my calls.
Yeah.
So. See, I have my phone tied to Google Voice. It emails me, and I can download it and listen to it.
Yeah, I probably should. Well,
yeah,
I don't like tying everything to
I have that set up, too. I think it's really cool. It sends you the translations, although it's really bad. They're
like, not right at all.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You got to listen to the voicemail.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't even get an idea.
Okay. So what other news is Ivan to get?
That's all I had.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I had two of them, didn't I?
Wait.
Oh, yeah. The second one I found was... The top 10 open source gifts for the holidays.
All right. What do we got?
So what are you getting me, Tony?
there's number one is the Raspberry Pi.
I already have that.
You already do, so
yeah,
I may get it for myself. There's the Arduino and Makee.
What is it? Never heard of it.
You find your lost keys?
It works with multiple operating systems and that can turn into different materials into buttons and keys. And there's a video how to
use it. I don't want that gift, Tony.
You don't want it?
Well, oh, I'm not looking at it. I should look at it, maybe.
Let's see. I'll post the link in the IRC.
Okay, please do. All right.
So there's a video of... But it really doesn't talk much about it.
Oh, Makee? Yeah, I see that.
And then going on, there's the BeagleBone.
Mm-hmm.
The ice tube clock, which looks really cool.
Oh, it does. Ooh, that would be good to get.
Yeah, I think I want to go with
that
one.
That would be good to get as a gift.
There's the Spark Fun Inventors Kit for Arduinos. So you can get that plus the Arduino up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the iRacer, which is a little remote control car. That looks cool.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
The Nano Note.
Oh, come on. You couldn't even press those keys.
I know. The thing's small.
Yeah, you could.
Well, look at your phone. Look at your
BlackBerry.
Your BlackBerry.
No way.
Well, maybe not you, Matt, but some people's fingers would fit on that. Midgets. All right. I'm sorry, little people. Yeah. Oh, I should have said that.
Flora.
All right. Yep.
Which is wearable electronics. And the Mighty Boost. Or Mini Boost? M-I-N-T.
Minty Boost. Okay. Oh, I see. So it's a little battery charger. That, yeah, that's a good gift.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than running out of juice when you're playing songs or something. Needing to use your phone, that type of thing. Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's what I had. So I think
$149. Who would pay $149 for that little freaking thing in the Balmier Ann? Nobody. Give me a break.
What's it run? Does it run
Linux?
He's whoops.
But it's an odd player.
I laughed too hard. My nose hit the mic.
I don't know. It depends on what it is. I mean,
yeah.
A phone by itself is hundreds and hundreds if you don't buy the service.
Yeah, come on, Matt.
It's neat.
It is. Thanks, Tony.
If they sell 10, it will be a lot.
I don't know how you got my gift list, Tony, but thanks. So pick one on there. I'll be happy.
Wait a minute. It says it has a 336 megahertz processor.
Yeah.
But it's only 126 grams, so it's pretty lightweight. Mm-hmm. 32 megs of RAM. Ooh. With 2 gigs of flash memory.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Baloney.
All right.
$150? Baloney.
Matt doesn't want that.
I guess not.
No gift for you.
All right.
Okay.
Bah humbug.
That's right.
He's
drinking from a Bah Humbug mug, which I provided to him specially.
So we're now we just watched the video on the Makey Makey, and that does look really cool.
It is. It's super cool.
You can make anything.
Thank you, Matt, for doing that. Let me tell you. Thank you.
Make it into anything that represents key on your keyboard. Yeah. So what they used
mouse clicks, all kinds of stuff. It was wild. Just with the alligator clips. And the one side of the board is real simple, and then the other side is more advanced, and then there's an even more advanced one that you can get to treat it like an Arduino, and all of this without programming, just alligator clips.
Yeah, and in the video they show turning your stairs into a keyboard, or when the cat takes a drink out of the water, then it takes a picture
of the cat drinking the water.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And it works right outside of the box. They said it includes the Makey Makey board, a USB cable, 7 alligator clips, 6 connector wires, the quick start guide, and then the online documentation.
Yeah. And there's no installing anything. Just plug it into your USB port.
Yeah.
That is cool.
And the MSRP is $59.95, but they've got it here for $49.95.
I'm
ordering one.
You know, I told my wife for Christmas, I gave her the link right to X-Bite that said, I want this RAID controller with battery and the camera.
Oh, yeah?
And this is what I want for Christmas. I think I'm changing up to the Makey Makey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've got a 2950 at home, a Dell 2950, and I've got it all loaded up with 6 hard drives and 8 gigs of RAM and...
Yeah.
I can't use it. I need a RAID controller.
Oh, really?
How big is it? Can you fit a full-length card in it?
No, the RAID controller clicks in at the front.
I know, but can you fit a full-length PCI card in it?
Yeah, with a riser. If I had a riser.
Oh, okay. Do you?
Kind of, yeah.
Because I have one you can have.
You have a Perk 5?
No. No, it's a RAID controller.
No, you need the special one from Dell that plugs into the backplane.
If you want to use the Perk, right?
I want to use the backplane that connects to all the drives instead of just individually taking out the backplane.
All right, well, you guys were just going back and forth. Well, you guys were just going back and forth. I ordered 2.
Did you really?
I did. I just ordered it, yeah. That my order is cool. ID. Yep, I got my order ID and everything.
You know, I just ordered a couple hard drives.
Did you?
I should have waited and ordered these instead.
So that's going to be fun. I bet I could hook it up to my Raspberry Pi. Oh, That'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, well, we'll have to play around with that. Yeah, like I have so much time.
That's cool. All right. Well, let's continue on.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
Is it alive or is it a Linux kernel nickname? Returning after a relaxing 3-week vacation on the banks of the Detroit River, it's time for Is It Alive? Or is it a Linux kernel nickname?
I'm surprised it came back alive.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's actually a straight, you know, because it connects two larger bodies of water.
Understand.
All right. During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. This week is Twist Week by proclamation. And I challenge Matt and Tony to decide if the name entity is a nickname of a Linux kernel release. Extra credit will be given if the Linux kernel version number is named. Now, by version number, all I want from you is the first digit, the dot, you know, say 3.0, 2.26, that type of thing. And if you know that, you get extra credit.
1.9857.
Yeah, you get even more extra credit. For every correct number passed to the right side of the decimal, after that first number, you get an extra point. How about that? All right, because you guys are not going to get any of these. All right, you ready?
I think we are.
Right, remember now, some are real and some are not, too. You got to keep that in mind. All right. Sneaky Weasel.
Sneaky Weasel.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, no.
It was the nickname of 3.0-RC1. To 3.0. Now, again, you don't need to know the RC1 if you had guessed it. So, all right. Charging Buffalo.
I'm going to say yes to 2.6.
I will say yes, but not 2.6.
So you're just going to go with yes, but you don't...
I don't know what the distribution is.
Because you could take a guess, even if you're you know, wrong. You won't get points taken away, is what I'm saying. Okay. It's not. I made that one up. All right. Mary, two. You guys, nothing. I'm just kidding. All right. The next one is Trembling Tortoise.
Not.
I'm going to go yes. And I'm going to go... ST 3.2.
It is a nickname. And it was from the stable side, it was 2.6.27.
Oh.
So you get 1 point.
I should have said
2.6
for this one.
You should have. Okay. The next one is Vindictive Armadillo.
No.
Yes. Oh, wait, no. I don't think it is. I take that answer back.
All right. Yes, it was a nickname. Oh. 2.6.30 RC2 or RC4-2 all the way to 2.630 RC6. That's what it was called. Vindictive Armadillo. You talked yourself right out of
it. I did.
Go with your first one. All right, the next one is Terrified Chipmunk.
No.
Yes.
It was. 3.6-RC7 and on.
That's
Matt, are you
current,
going with no to everything this time? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Okay. No. All right, the next one is Crafty Coyote.
No.
Yes. I'm going to say 2.2.
It's one, I made it up.
Oh.
I think, who won here? I think you won by one.
Yeah, I'm up by point.
One by one.
Yes.
All right. You're continuing your winning streak, Tony. Well, that's pretty
what
good.
What was the...
I'm going to have a link to where all these names are listed to, just to prove to you that they really do exist. It's at git.kernel.org, and then there's some additional information to the right of that.
That's neat, because I didn't even know that they had names for the
kernels. I didn't either. And you can, you know, they list them, and then they have a link where you can just see in the source file or whatever that file is. It just lists it right there. It's right in the file.
I think I should, I want to task Matt to, anytime there's a name change, you have to tell us.
No.
So, all right. So, join us next week for another edition of Is It Alive? Okay, well, that was fun.
All right.
Well, fun for some of us. It's always fun for me.
For all of us.
Maybe one of you guys want to run the Is It Alive, and then I'll be part of the participants. What do you think?
No.
Well, yeah, you know it takes time to put it together.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140.
I think we have two things this week, right?
I think we have more.
We do.
I have from McVries, from Gary, from Guillaume, and from Chatter, and Ken Fallon inviting us to the 24-hour.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I got three of those. I think you probably checked out Google Plus a little bit or something.
No, they're all right to my email for SMLR.
Okay, all right. I might not have been included on some of those. But there was one question. I think you got the one from Gary White?
Yes.
Okay. So are we going to talk about those?
Yes.
So, well, he was kind of Gary was talking about how we were talking about DKMS. And then you had that other application that did the similar thing.
Yeah.
That you found.
Module Assistant.
Yeah. But he was talking about how he had a problem with his Radeon GPU that was...
5770 GPU.
Yeah.
And I can sympathize with him having to wipe and reinstall an OS because the graphics aren't working. And I think I had that happen a long time ago when I was using NVIDIA with the NVIDIA binary driver, or the proprietary driver, I should say. Once I went to the Novo driver. I never had to do that. So, oh. I don't know if there's an open one for ATI, but it certainly wouldn't hurt to try that to see if that would work and take care of those extra header supporting files that you need. The kernel supporting files that you need, the headers and that type of thing. It's just annoying when that happens, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Cool. So, but I've never used DKMS to do it. So if anybody out there is listening has done that or knows about that, just send us a quick line and we'll mention it next week.
I haven't used DKMS specifically for that, but I've used it in conjunction with OpenBox or VirtualBox. Because I think it includes it in there.
DKMS was meant originally for virtual machines. I didn't know that it actually moved into non-virtual machine use.
Well, maybe when you're trying to boot in the virtual machine, it happens. I've had video problems sometimes. But, again, hard to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then McVries was talking to Matt.
Yeah. McVries there. Thank you very much for your well wishes, and glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, you guys looking pretty healthy here from my perspective, from my vantage point. And Chatter, he wrote in and was talking about the distro review from last week, Uber student, and the fact that he really likes note-taking programs. I think it'd be really helpful.
I think the part that's worth mentioning there is that I normally don't listen to the distro review section.
Yeah, I glossed right over that, didn't I? I think it was my eye problem today. But anyway, yeah. So I was very glad that he liked that distro review because those two programs and plus all the other stuff that I talked about were really pretty interesting, and I'm going to make use of some of those too. And then he said he also mentioned he uses Zim and then Treeline and before that Cherry Tree a bit. So. I was glad I could share a couple more with them and the rest of the listeners.
Yeah, and then we have Guillaume emailed in.
Guillaume? Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. it says he's liking our show to keep it up, and that he has a netbook. He's running as a file server, a VPN server, and things like that. And he says a screen sits there and just does nothing. So he wants to know. If there's something like a widget or something that he could run.
I was thinking Conky. Yeah. And I wanted to.
Well, you know, he wants see, like the weather and stuff displayed on it, like in his like wherever it's.
Conky does that.
Conky can do weather, and it can do. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing on there.
I thought there was an app in KDE though, like the weather that lets you just.
Yeah. Well,
a widget.
Yeah, there is.
It does. Yeah, you can set up separate widgets for all these things, little pictures and stuff. But being on a netbook, being that small, I'm not sure how well it would run. But I think Conky would be really good. It's just I haven't gone in to hack on it to get it to do what he wants. So a little bit of Googling for Conky. That's C-O-N-K-Y, right? Yeah.
C-O-N-K-Y, that's right.
Yeah, so check that out.
Yeah, and there was, I wish I don't have it on this laptop, but I think on my desktop. There was a screenshot of a desktop that had Conky set up on the right side, and it had weather on there. It had, you know, just system monitoring tools. It had everything on there. It actually was almost too busy, but, you know, depending on what you're looking for, it could very well be a good, good thing to have. But I think Conky should take care of it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Either that or you can run, there's slideshow programs that you can run, have it run in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
want it to sit there as like a picture frame and then be your file VPN server also, you know, that'd be a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, any others?
I'm pretty sure there was one more. We just got something in just now, I think, a few minutes ago.
Oh, we did?
The Ken Phelan.
We
mentioned that just a second, but so he's inviting people to get on and talk about.
Are we going to do something?
Well, that's what we haven't discussed on how we want to. I mean, we can get in individually, or did you guys want to get together for New Year's? We can have an SMLR New Year's party.
We could. Well, let's take a look at the calendar here because. December, no, and Matt will have to check and see, you know, what your Sunday-Saturday situation is, but...
I have to work New Year's and Christmas.
You'll have to work New Year's and Christmas?
Oh, well, I used to with my old schedule.
On the weekend?
But with my current schedule, they don't have me working any weekends because weekends are so long, you're there by yourself.
Oh, okay.
So you don't want to have a stroke and be laying there by yourself.
Right.
Well, you can get those little medical collars that the elderly people have.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Well, so what you're saying now is we're going to be Sunday.
Yeah, because I'm Monday through Wednesday and every other Thursday right now.
All right. Did you guys read that email? The one just came in.
I didn't get it.
This morning.
I didn't see it.
Or no, yesterday at 2:29.
I didn't get it. It
says it could be spam. I wonder do we have spam? Great points.
Oh, it's
North
spam.
Face jackets that's on sale all together. Holy cow.
wait, how much? I still got Christmas gifts.
Yeah, that was spam.
Yeah, that was spam. I saw that. I saw that and I ignored it.
I ignored it,
Tony.
My spam filter is working.
It must be working. So...
All right.
Okay.
So I think we're, that's about
wrapping,
it.
Wrapping up.
Yeah, we're wrapping up.
Featured music of the week.
Outro music.
All right.
Music for the outro.
Yes.
Outroing in the music.
Music for the outro in you.
We have Yeah, 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 and Oh, Oh, Oh is the music.
Oh, Jesus.
It's one of my selections.
I see this that's being accordion right now.
Yeah, I look for accordion. Must have accordion.
All right. It's by the Nunchucks. Yeah, so Mary picked this one out, and then I look at it. I was like, what's the name of the album?
I never looked at the album.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Go ahead.
Sexy Party at the Coconut Club.
Yeah. Everybody get naked.
Oh, my God.
And then I think back at the name of the song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, I never. Oh, my God.
Good job, Mary. Maybe I will give it a listen.
I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. I just went for the song.
All right.
I'm embarrassed.
So, here we go. So you're listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review, episode 61.
Back in the Sunday saddle.
Yeah, this is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying have a good week. See you next week.